The Dugout CEO podcast is on the air. I'm Phil Van Horn, baseball lifer and fan of the Dugout CEO. Each week, Casey Cavell goes around the horn with baseball superstars, Hall of Fame coaches, and business leaders who've used baseball experience to win the game of life. Now batting, Casey Cavell.
Nation, welcome to the Dugout CEO podcast. Today, I'm joined by Britt Lee, who is a CEO and co-founder of Pure Athlete, Inc., and author of Parenting the Pure Athlete. He is passionate about the next generation and believes that sports can play such an impactful role in an amateur athlete's personal development. Today, we're going to touch on amateur athletics, parenting, and leadership at all levels. Britt, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, Casey. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. So you've kind of written the book, like the real book on sports parenting. So I want to jump into that here in a little bit, but I want our listeners to learn more about you as an athlete and then your venture into, you know, being a parent and then being a sports parent. So tell us the story.
That will be a short story because I don't have quite the athletic prowess that you do and many of my guests do. Like probably many of your viewers, I grew up playing, you know, all kinds of sports. I landed in tennis. My dad was a huge tennis player. He played at Georgia Tech. I was trying to kind of follow in those footsteps, and that's a sport I ended up, you know, playing in high school, you know, was on a couple state championship teams, not as much because of me, but we had a guy on the team that was a three-time All-American at UGA right after high school, so he carried us. Anyway, I'm just a huge sports fan, huge sports fanatic. That carried over into parenting through my kids' sports journeys, which kind of led us to where I am today.
So talk about that. You know, you wrote the book on this thing, Parenting the Pure Athlete. What motivated you to, one, write that book? And then tell us some of the things that you kind of learned maybe about yourself or throughout the process that you wanted to learn and teach other parents.
Yeah, well, for starters, my gray hair probably, you know, conveys to everybody that, you know, I'm a little bit on the back end of my kids' sports journeys. I've got four kids, and they all played sports, two daughters, two older daughters, and I've got twin boys. My girls played just rec sports for the most part, and they tried a lot of different things, but they also were into musical theater and all kinds of stuff, which was more their passion than sports. My boys are like all in on sports. I mean, they are fully engaged. They played everything for the first 7-8 years of life. Sitting where I'm sitting today, I'm 5'9". They knew that they probably weren't going to be super tall, so they let go of baseball at about 12 years old. They let go of basketball after middle school, and they're pretty good basketball players, but they also were really good tennis players, and they had a dream of playing in college. And so they kind of went all in on tennis in high school. And we, as a result of that, all in means what all in means today for most parents. I mean, we were traveling all over the Southeast. You know, I was toting them to and from academies 3 or 4 times a week. It was a real challenge. It was a real challenge to balance family and do what we thought we needed to do from a sports standpoint. And all the challenges that go along with that, we can get into some of those. But when all of that was done, one of my sons ended up as a senior in high school, and they won 3 state championships. So, you know, they played on a really fun high school team. But he decided he didn't want to play in college. It didn't look like he was going to play at a Power 5 school, and he wanted to go to a big school. So he's at UGA. My other son ended up playing at a D1 school. He played a year, had knee surgery on both knees, and decided to hang it up and join his brother at UGA. And so the sports career is kind of over from a parenting standpoint. They're juniors at UGA now. But in the midst of all that, as I was finished right around pandemic year, I was thinking back and, you know, through everything that we had learned in sports, and we had a great experience that was full of challenges. So no regrets, but there were a lot of maybe regrettable moments from time to time that I think a lot of parents could relate to. And I decided to start writing them down. And that led to it becoming a book where I have about 30 chapters. It's a pretty easy to read book that chronicles our experiences and our story, but also talks about a lot of stories from other athletes, and it really hits on a lot of key things that every parent's going to go through when they're taking their kids through this sports journey, if they're really serious about sports in today's culture.
Thank you for one, documenting your story, because I think that's impactful, right? You're using your experience to empower and benefit others that are going through it or about to go through it. Looking at your wins and what you did right, before we get into maybe some of the regrettable moments, like, what did you think you did right throughout the process of being a great sports parent?
I love that question, because it seems like we always start off, you know, thinking about what we do wrong. And I did plenty of things that I wish I could know what I knew, what I know now back then. But I also did do some things right. The first thing I think, and many parents can relate to this, is, you know, I wanted to be a great dad. And not just, you know, in this area of life, but in every area. And so I wanted to do well with my kids. I wanted them to be able to learn how to pursue their dreams. And sports offers so many great opportunities to teach your kids about life. There's so many things that translate into life, but you have to be intentional about it. I mean, those opportunities for teaching will just pass you by if you don't look for them. And I think I did a pretty good job of being aware of that and approaching it with intentionality and seizing many of those opportunities to teach my kids. Some of the things I taught my kids were through responses I had that were wrong, and just had to go back to them and say, man, I need you to forgive me. This is not the approach we should be taking. The other thing I feel like I did right is I wanted to get on the back end of this, and I knew that as much money as I was spending on sports, I would never recoup it back, even if they got a full scholarship. There is not a positive financial ROI in the cards for 99% of the people who are going after it. I mean, you know, I have a partner, Jeff Rancour, in our business. You know, for Jeff, his parents got a financial ROI, a positive one, because he signed a $2 million deal right out of high school, but that's few and far between when that happens. So I knew that the ROI had to be relational. I really leveraged all those trips, all the little hotels we stayed at, all the meals at, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, watching college football on a Saturday night after a long day at the tennis courts. We had a great time, and we have great memories from all that.
It is. Sports truly does teach you life lessons. What do you think those things were, looking back at it, that your sons really learned that they're now applying today?
Number one is grit. You know, if you want to achieve anything in life, I don't care how talented you are. I mean, talent takes you a long way, but it only takes you so far. Even the best, you know, you got to work hard for it. And that translates into anything in life. Achievement requires grit. We talked about that, you know, quite a bit. They're in school now. It takes grit to do well in school. But I did see in my boys, you know, that whether they were having success or whether they weren't, they learned how to grind. And I think that will serve them well all throughout life. I mean, there's many other lessons, but that's one of the ones that I really wanted them to learn.
Is grit something you learn or you have or you're developed into? Because I don't know, is grit like, I guess, hard work or making it happen or not stopping short? Like, what is your definition of that? And is that something you just either have or don't?
I define grit as perseverance that's driven by passion. Some people talk about work ethic and so on and so forth. And you can have a work ethic around something that you're not passionate about, but boy, that's hard to sustain for long, long periods of time. So when you put a work ethic engine behind something that you're passionate about, that is sustainable, and I think that's grit. There's a lady named Angela Duckworth, and I'll recommend this book. She wrote a book called Grit, and it's not a sports book. It's just a book about grit in life, and it is a New York Times bestseller. I mean, they talk about sports. She gives tons of examples, but she talks about grit in the classroom, and she's a researcher and has tremendous research in this book. and shows that in almost every facet of life, oftentimes the person with medium talent and maximum grit overcomes the person with maximum talent and lower grit. Going back to sports, I'll say there are people out there that are born with extraordinary grit. Tim Tebow is a great example. If you've read any of his stuff, you know, the guy at 10 years old is doing 1,000 push-ups and 1,000 sit-ups and whatever every single day. Yeah. And as sports parents, we all kind of wish our kids had that. Not many do. I do think that it can be developed, it can be taught, and kids understanding and seeing what the result of hard work can be can motivate them to become a harder worker. Again, I do think part of it is inbred, but if it doesn't come naturally to you, I do think you can move up the scale on the grit scale.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you unlock people's passions and they love doing it, it's something they're passionate about. Like the grit almost just comes. It just happens naturally because they're not having to work so hard. Like it's just fun. And I'm looking at this from a lens of a coach leading a player or a CEO leading a, you know, an employee. It's trying to figure out like what are they passionate about? What do they want? And then empowering them to get that. Do you find that there's a lot of parents out there that, and maybe you touched on this in the book, like they want it really bad, but maybe their son or their daughter don't. And do you ever run into that situation?
Oh yeah, all the time. And I think you have young kids. You have a sports background, so you probably saw it from that, but you have young kids. As your kids get older and you start observing other parents, it's rampant in the sports world that the parents' passion exceeds the kids' passion. That's a recipe for difficulty moving forward. Now, look, there's going to be times in every kid's life, whether it be their sports life or any life, just like there is in ours, when the passion ebbs and flows. You know, be patient if your kid, you know, loses a little bit of their passion or their drive for a period of time. It's normal. But you've got to listen and watch and observe your kid. And if you're trying to push them into an area that they're not passionate about, you're on a journey to not a good place. Our goal as parents, I believe, is to help our kids find what they're passionate about. It may be sports. It may not be sports. It could be musical theater. It could be academics. It could be relational. I don't know. But you know when you find what your kid's passionate about.
Is that tough? Because I'm just wondering, I think I would want my kids, probably just who I am, to love baseball, love sports, love the outdoors. But then if they don't, is that hard? Because I haven't experienced it yet. My kids are still young. They're growing. They're trying to figure it out. Is it hard as a parent? Like, I really want them to do this. I like this. I want that bonding, but they like this. Is that hard for a parent to deal with and work with? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it's hard on one level. On the other level, I mean, you love your kids. And when you see their passion turned on by something, whether you're interested in it or not, I mean, I didn't grow up being a musical theater person. I was all about sports. My daughter loved musical theater. She was really good at it. And some of my most fun nights as a parent are going to shows and watching her perform. Now, there wasn't a lot I could add in that to help her, like I might be able to do with my boys in sports, but I could be there for her and I could encourage her and spur her on in that journey and support her every way. But it's not that hard to get on board with your kids. I went to a couple of cheer competitions and I went to support a niece or a nephew. And so it wasn't my kid. So I didn't get into it as much as if it was my kid, but those competitions were full of dads who I know if it wasn't their kid out there, they probably wouldn't be that into it, but man, they were into it because it is their kid and you want to be a cheerleader for your kid.
Yeah. What's interesting, you said it here, your job is to find what your athlete or son or daughter is passionate about and then empower them there.
Yep.
It doesn't always happen. You have these parents that put pressure on their child. They want it more. They're the helicopter parent or the bulldozer parent. I had a bunch of baseball and softball academies, and you can see the players that want to be there versus the dad or the mom that just drags them in there. So why does it happen? Like, how do we solve this problem? I talk to a lot of athletic directors, and parents are the biggest issue. They go, the athlete, the players aren't changing. It's the parents that are changing. They're different. So how do we solve this issue that seems to be growing and not really getting better each and every single year?
Well, it's a complex answer to that. The youth sports culture is zooming to a new place of more and more intensity, more and more work, earlier and earlier ages, more and more money. And you know what? Kids aren't making that happen. It's the adults in the room that are causing that to happen. We started an organization called Pure Athlete, and our mission in Pure Athlete is to push back on that culture and help try to influence it. We don't think, I mean, we're not dumb enough to think that we're going to radically change the culture, because the culture is also driven because it's a business. And, you know, there's more and more money and so on and so forth driving all this. But we think the best way to influence that culture is to influence parents and influence coaches around what's healthy. You know, we love sports. And so we're not saying, oh, you know, sports is terrible and youth sports, everything. No, we love sports and we think there's great opportunities for kids in sports. And you know what? The data shows that kids who play sports, you know, are usually more productive academically. They get in less trouble. There's all kind of positive things that go along with sports. But because the parents are so into it, you know, it also has the opportunity to present all these other challenges. And so we've got to educate parents. What's kind of driving a lot of parents today is we want the best for our kids so badly that we overdo in so many areas. And so what we're trying to do is educate parents who want the best for their kids to say, that's not the best for your kid. Let's talk about what's a healthy approach. Is it a healthy approach for kids to play, you know, 100 plus games of baseball at 8 years old, or to play 5 games on a weekend at 8 years old? We don't think so. And there's a lot of data that says that it's not. We had a doctor on our show last week, who's one of the foremost doctors on youth sports. He's a physician, but he's a researcher on sports specialization. And we did an hour-long episode with him, and he talked about all of his research. And what's happening is kids are basically having the volume of injuries is growing exponentially, and the timing of those injuries is happening 4 years earlier than it was 20 years ago. He treats tons of kids. He's a college physician. He says the number of kids going to college who are healthy is very, very small. And he's patching them up at a time when they should be hitting their peak of playing. Their bodies are breaking down. So that's a long-winded answer, but a lot going on in sports.
So what's the root cause? Because, you know, there's the issue. That's the issue that you just stated. But, like, what's the real issue 5 or 6 levels deep? Like, why is that happening?
I think we go back to what you just asked about was parents. Some of it is parents living their unfulfilled dreams through their kids. Some of it is parents wanting to see kids achieve their dreams and not knowing how to govern, you know, the throttle, not knowing how to throttle back. I mean, for me, one of the things I regret in my youth sports journey with my kids is not giving them enough breaks. Tennis is a year-round sport. And, you know, one of my sons, the one who played in college, had 4 major injuries in 3.5 years. And if I could go back, and I don't feel like I was overbearing, but I did have this attitude like, oh, if we take a month off, you know, we're going to fall behind. And my kids kind of adopted that too. They didn't really want to take a month off. But knowing what I know now, I should have made them take a month off a couple of times a year just to regroup, to let their bodies regroup, to let that passion, you know, regenerate. There's just all kind of reasons. So parents are a big part of it. And then, as I just said, it's a money grab too. These facilities that are being built, if they're not full every weekend, somebody's losing big money. Now, I don't want to say that's all bad because, again, parents and kids have great experiences traveling to tournaments, playing on a team, being with other families, many, many positive things. But you just have to be aware of what's too much and not sacrificing all the other things in life for sports at 8 years old or 9 years old or 10 years old, which by the way, for 97% of them, they're not going to play beyond high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned the unfulfilled dreams. I think that is a big one. Or, you know, I was a high school athlete, but I wanted to get that college scholarship and I got hurt, or something happened, or I had a bad coach, or, you know, whatever happened. You know a lot of professional athletes. You know a lot of professional athletes that are now parents. Do you see it different from a professional athlete on how they parent the athlete that's made it to the top, that's made a couple million bucks, that's created a career in sports, versus the parent that has the unfulfilled dreams?
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting. We had a show with Chipper Jones. You're a baseball show, and Fran Coor is one of our co-hosts. So we have a lot of baseball folks on, and we had Chipper on, which was fun for me. I'm a lifelong Braves fan, and he was awesome. But he talked about his own boys, and he's kind of like, man, we are not playing, you know, year-round. We're not playing in the summer. They're doing stuff, other stuff. We're going on vacation. We're doing all this stuff. And we loved all that. But we posted some of those clips. We had a number of parents who would, you know, comment on Instagram and stuff saying, you don't have a clue. You're Chipper Jones. You've done it, and you can afford not to have your kids do all these things because, you know, you can teach them the perfect way and all that. So, I mean, there is some of that, that pro athletes, number one, genetics play a big part in a kid making it. Sure. And so pro athletes, you know, oftentimes their kids do make it to a high level because they've got good genes. But on top of that, they also understand, and they've lived out their own dreams. For most of them, there's not any need to relive their dreams through their kids. And we had Del Curry on, and he, you know, Steph and Seth, and he said that. He said, man, I already did it. I didn't need to relive it. I just wanted them to do whatever they wanted to do. And actually, Steph and Seth played, they didn't specialize. They played all kinds of sports through high school. So, you know, a lot of good balance there.
It like fires me up. It like ignites something in me when I hear these comments that are coming through. You're Chipper Jones. You don't know what it's like. Like, what is that? Why is that? Who are these people? And then I'm wondering, how are their kids doing? And I'm just, where's the disconnect? And I get it, because I'm like, you don't get it. You're Chipper. You got X amount of money and, you know, no problems in the world kind of thing. So it's hard, because it's like I'm trying to relate myself with, you know, a Hall of Famer and how he parents versus how I parent. But it is like, what is that disconnect there?
Yeah, it is difficult. But look, I want to be balanced in this, because my other partner, Brad, and I, he's an high school athletic director, and he sees a lot of things and deals with a lot of parents. And we push back on Fran Coor some, because, you know, pro athletes do have a different perspective. And Jeff, his oldest kid is 11. And so he's not quite to a place where, you know, his kids are in high school, and it's like, boy, the rubber meets the road. My kid is on the edge of maybe being able to play next level, and they really want to. And I want to help them make it. I want to help them achieve their dreams if it's their dreams. And so we push back at times and say, you know, you were the stud. You were the 1% all through your life. I was a pretty good athlete, but I wasn't like a top 1% type of athlete by any means. And so there are things that you're required to do in this sports environment, just like in business or anything. I mean, there are sacrifices that you have to make if you want to achieve something. If you're not the most talented kid, that doesn't mean that you can't still make it. But you have to understand what needs to be done. And then you and your parents together have to look at all that honestly and say, what do I want my life to be about? What do I want my kids' life to be about? And what's the reality of them sacrificing everything for this that may or may not be attainable?
Yeah, because I'm wondering, you know, the goal of the parent. What's the mission? And I don't know if there's a thing in your book that says, hey, your goal as a parent or your mission should be to this. But I'm just thinking, I want to empower my children. I want to teach them how to be great citizens, be great teammates, solve issues, do hard things, learn how to communicate with one another. And those are all the things that they need to learn before they leave the household. Because if you don't learn them at 18, when you jump onto a college campus, you're on your own. And I've seen that. I mean, yeah. There was just an article posted the other day that all these five-star athletes. They go on campus as a five-star 18-year-old athlete, and the transfer portal rate of a five-star athlete is so high right now because I think they're just so athletically gifted. Nobody's taught them or challenged them on all of these other things. They just cater to them. So how does a parent or how does your system or what you guys are building at your business help these players learn these essentials that they need and then help the parent communicate these things with the athlete? So by the time they're out of high school, right, they're prepared for what's next.
Yeah. I mean, we've built Pure Athlete around five pillars. And we think these five pillars, if number one, if you want to be a great athlete, and we use the word, the brand Pure Athlete is about becoming the best version of athlete. That's why we use the word pure, you know, as it goes with anything as an adjective, it's about the best form of, you know, we're coming alongside and trying to say, hey, we want to help you achieve your goals athletically, but we also want you to be the best version of yourself in life because you just touched on it. Our goal as parents is not to raise a great athlete. Our goal as parents is to raise a great person who's equipped when they become an adult to handle life. Sports end for everybody at some point. And for most of us, they end, you know, before college. But even for the next group of people who play in college, for most of them, it ends sometime in college. And then even for pro athletes, it ends, you know, 35 years old, maybe, or earlier. So at that point, you know, what kind of adult are you going to be? What kind of contribution are you going to make to society, to your family, to business, to whatever, and how equipped are you to do that? So these five pillars, we talk about vision. Anything you want to accomplish, you got to start off with being able to envision the destination that you want to get to. And then how do you break that into goal setting, you know, long-term goals, short-term goals, all those types of things. The next one is grit. You know, and grit, we've already talked about. The next one is skill. Skill is the one that everybody understands and everybody's spending money on today with coaches and so on and so forth, to the exclusion sometimes of the other things. The fourth one we call belief, but belief is really the word that encompasses all the mental aspect of sports. And all that translates into life as well. When you go on, you know, Casey, you're a baseball guy. When you step in the batter's box, if you don't step in the batter's box believing that you can get a hit, you ain't going to get a hit. Mm-hmm. And that's true across any part of sports, and it translates to life. So how do you deal with all the mental aspect and all the negativity and being able to push that aside? I strike out, you know, next at bat, I'm not thinking about my strikeout. I'm thinking about that double I'm going to hit in the gap. So the last one is character. You can be a great athlete without character. There's a bunch of examples, but we added character to being a pure athlete because to be the best version of athlete, you know, we want you to become a leader. We want you to be a great teammate. We want you to be have great sportsmanship, all those things that, again, translate to business. They translate to every piece of life. And we think that's what a pure athlete is, and that's what we're trying to promote through this business.
This is fantastic. So I want to challenge everybody listening in, if you are a parent of an athlete, what's your goal? What's your mission? What's your hope for your child? And does it align? I think that's so good. And I want them to get a copy of the book. I'm going to buy 10 copies right now. Okay. I'm going to put them right here on my desk. And the first 10 people that kind of email me, what was your biggest takeaway or what was your biggest aha moment from this? Or what are you learning from this that you're going to apply? I'm going to mail you a copy. So one, thank you for being here, Britt. This has been fantastic. And where does the audience go to learn more about what you have going on?
Yeah, thanks so much, Casey. I really have enjoyed the conversation. Love what you do. I think it's super, super helpful for folks. We have a website, Pure Athlete Inc., pureathleteinc.com. Our podcast is, you know, wherever you want to listen to podcasts. We have episodes that come out weekly. A lot of top athletes across all sports, male and female, and telling their youth sports stories and their insights. It's a fun listen. And then we're all over social media, you know, putting out clips every day. And we would love for folks to follow us. And thanks for the opportunity to share all that.
This is awesome, Britt. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on our show.
Thanks so much, Casey. You have a great day.
Dugout Nation, what a great time with Britt. And I was really challenged from our time today. Here are my big three takeaways. It takes grit to be successful. Grit is all about perseverance, persistence, and doing hard things. Number two, knowing your why. Why do you lead? Why do you do what you do? And also, why do they do what they do? Those that you're leading, figure out their why. Figure out what they want, and then you can coach them accordingly. You can challenge them, encourage them, and inspire them. But first, figure out where do they want to go and why do they want to get there? Why do they play the game? Great leaders, whether you're a coach or a parent, they know the why of those they lead, and they coach them accordingly. Number three, know their goals. Figure out what they ultimately want. What is that long-term goal? What is that thing they want to be remembered for? What is that thing they want to accomplish? Do they want to become a college athlete? Do they want to be a professional athlete? Do they just want to be a starter on the team? Are they an employee that's kind of okay being a 9-to-5 employee and putting in their time? Or do they want to own their own business? Do they want to accomplish something far beyond what's possible? If so, get those you lead to put it on paper, and then develop a plan to make that vision become a reality. Everyone is different, but knowing the why and the what of those you lead is essential. And then you can get into the how do you inspire and empower them to make that thing happen. Thank you for joining us once more for another episode of The Dugout CEO. We want to get you the tips you need to become an MVP at what you do. Sign up for our Friday Focus newsletter and you'll receive a valuable tip each Friday morning to help you build the business and life you want. You can sign up by going to caseycavell.com or click the link in the show notes. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get notification on our next episode. And one way you can help us book more great guests like this is to please leave us a rating and honest review in the Apple or Spotify podcasting app.